Chicago's home for sports. Now, by your side through your smart speaker. Just tell it to play ESPN 1000.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Hanley and Zander from the First Midwest Bank Studio on State Street on a Sunday morning, ESPN 1000. Hey there, Charlie Hustle, slow down. Don't hurt yourself, okay? Slow down.
Did they have a walk or don't walk light flashing at first base, like a crosswalk?
the do not run list.
Yeah, DNR.
The DNR list. I'll tell you something. We had both work for or work with Fred, who is enjoying retirement. And if we did a what's up Brian's can today or Xander's can, it would be the same thing. Because we grew up watching sports where people went all out. Yep. That's what you did. Max effort.
You now did it in this city. Yeah. In this city, you weren't a star or an all-star, but people appreciated so many players and because they gave a sport or team.
That's right.
You appreciated guys who busted their rear end every day and maximized whatever talent they had.
Now we're in the max effort era. You've heard that, right? The max effort. So now the thing is slow down. You're going to hurt yourself. Are we too fast? Are we too strong now? Is that what's happening now? We've hit this ceiling, and now we're always on the border of injuring ourselves, so we have to tell everybody, pull back a little.
I've never heard a manager stand in front of the microphones and cameras and say, well, I know fans are upset because it looks like we're lazy out there, but here's the deal. Tim Anderson and Andrew Vaughn and A.J. Pollock and, Luis Robert. There's five guys who've been told by the medical staff, don't run things out unless it's a certainty that you're going to get to first base. Just take it easy because you have to protect your legs. It's a bizarre excuse that you would put out there publicly. And you pointed it out. And now you're just broadcasting it to opponents.
Right, right.
Like these guys.
Not only that, we have five players we've told to take it easy.
Yeah.
Okay. No, let's name them.
Yeah.
And let's give the jersey number, too, in case you're not sure which jersey they
wear. If you're scoring at home. Yeah, or scoring in the other dugout.
Actually, we have that cut here. We've got to play this for you. Because if you haven't heard this is just unbelievable. As Brian said, there's a first time for everything. And when you go to the ballpark, sometimes you don't know that you're going to see or hear something you've never seen or heard before.
Yeah, I think this is a really important point to make, and I hope the fans hear this and tell their friends this. Because yesterday, first of all, we get beat. We're not going to the plate and coming back. It looks like we're dead. But sometime when you hit a ball and a guy is just jogging under control of first base, we have five of our nine players that are under instructions from the training staff. Look, if the ball is a routine out, do not push it because you're liable to break. And that's Jose, and it's Vaughn, it's Robert. It's Pollock, and I'm missing one other one. Who would be there's a fifth one there. But they weren't long enough. I would know, but that makes the club look like it's not hustling. And the reality is, they're being told to play in control.
Yeah, I never thought we would get here. I never ever thought we would get here. And you have covered many of these press conferences and post games in person.
I've
never ever thought we would be saying. Not only, again, there's a lot of stuff that doesn't get shared in the club, outside the clubhouse.
Oh, sure.
And that's one of those things that should have stayed in the clubhouse. Let the fans bitch and moan. That's what we do. That's what we're doing right now.
Well, he said, tell your friends.
Tell your friends. Make sure to spread the word. Make sure to spread the word. All five of those players.
Call your daughters. But that was a perfect game. Right. To tune in. We got a perfect game going. Call your friends and tell them that we're not hustling because we don't want them to break.
Spread the excuses, please, for us. Spread them like wildfire on social media.
And then Tony, he has a future in the Apple Plus TV booth because he explained also why the Sox have been losing games. It's very simple, he said. And if we have that, because I never heard this before, but he boiled it down, and I saw it on Twitter yesterday. I'm like, oh, that explains the entire season to this point. And if we pitch well, they pitch better. If we hit well, they hit better.
That.
And that's why we lose. How about if we make errors, they don't? If we don't know how to run the bases and they do? If we don't manage a hit, I mean, not hit well, what if we don't hit at all and they do?
Hey, I mean, it's as if he's not watching the same thing we're watching.
Amen. But if we pitch well, they just happen to pitch better. If we hit well, they just happen to hit better.
How about, you know, again, we can't tell Tony what to say or do, unfortunately. I'm not sure he'll listen to anybody. But if he came out and said, we just have to be better. We have to be better pitching. We have to be better with the offense. He's protecting his players too much. And if he doesn't lose the clubhouse, it's because he's protected them to a fault.
Well, he's losing the fan base.
Well, and that he is. That he is. But I don't think that's a measure of him staying in the job or not.
Yeah. But tell your friends what I just said, that we got guys who are, we don't want them to break. So they're running under control. And they've been told if it's not a sure hit, again, define that in baseball for me, because the most routine of plays can turn into an extra base for a guy, because some guy, you know, made the throw into the netting above the dugout or whatever. Back in the day, it would have been in the fifth row of the box seats, right?
Right.
So, I mean, it's bizarre to me, but it's just like every day we've got another reason. Oh, well, of course we're not winning because can you help me out with, we keep talking about the great injury list and all the great talent.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And there's talent. I get it. And there's, eight, nine guys on the IL right now. Which one of these guys are difference makers? If Yoan Moncada came back today, what does that mean? I mean, if
he came back and hit like he did, was it?
What week did he hit? If Eloy Jimenez comes back anytime soon, which he's not, where are the saviors? Where are the Bryce Harpers here? Where is the superstar on this list that we're pining for? I love Danny Mendick. I like watching him. I like Adam Engel. I like the idea of Yoan Moncada. I don't like the actual production of Yoan Moncada. You know, Aaron Bummer. Okay, that's fine. I mean, we can sit here and use this crutch all you want, Josh. I mean, what is it? Help me out with the guys who are holding this team back from winning the division because they're not available.
Well, first of all, the players that are actually playing are not playing up to their potential.
Amen.
Andrew Vaughn went cold yesterday, too, a bit.
Okay, and that does happen.
We can't put everything on his back. We cannot put everything on his back.
I'm not criticizing him anytime soon.
Right. But, you know, let's go down the list. Harrison was playing better before he sat down for a couple days because of the elbow.
Not an all-star. We're not talking about...
No. But look, I guess what I'm saying is there are no difference makers on the IL, but if everybody's playing up to their potential, they've got a winning team.
That's my point.
Right.
They weren't before they got hurt. Okay? Grandal was not playing great.
No, not Grandal. Moncada had a great game the day before he went on the IL.
Making $18 million a year.
Yes,
he had a game. He had a week. He had a series.
Well, it's got to start. It's got to start with a game. And look, I'm not being an apologist. I'm just giving you the other side of the coin.
I'm just looking at this thing, and I don't see Bryce Harper out for six weeks. What are we going to do?
Right.
I mean, and that's what the Phillies are looking at. Okay. Yeah. And they fired the manager, by the way. And they climbed back into a conversation that they could be a playoff team. My point is, a lot of these guys weren't all that before they got hurt. You know, the idea of Eloy Jimenez has been great for a couple of years.
But it's just an idea.
That's exactly right.
Right.
It's an unfulfilled idea. Yoan Moncada, you're paying him like he's a superstar or a star. Yeah, more often than not, he hasn't been.
Aside from 19, no.
We
saw what we thought was going to be him consistently, and it's not.
This whole idea, while we're hurt, wait till we get healthy. When you're healthy, you haven't been all that great either, okay? I mean, I know you've not been completely healthy.
Right.
But I'm missing the Justin Verlander on here. I'm missing the superstar on here.
Right. And if we had everybody show up tomorrow, would that make the difference? No. And that's your point. And you're right. You're absolutely right.
It goes back to our Twitter question. Even if you got the majority of your team healthy and back available, what's your best case scenario? Because it's not a World Series contending team right now, because until you can get over 500 and sustain that for a
that is the word, sustain.
Right. So now it's you know, your best case scenario. Win the division, be a wild card team, miss the playoffs, or sell off big names. That's our Twitter poll today.
Yeah, and we've got a couple people after the break we're going to take here at 312-332-3776. Before we do go to break, though, did you notice that Hawk Harrelson was in the stadium yesterday, if you were watching the game?
Stretch.
Yeah? Do you think he was there for a reason? You think he's there to fire Tony again?
Was he wearing the cowboy hat?
Yes, he had the cowboy. Had the cowboy hat on, and I'm just wondering if he's like, all right, who do I got to fire around here?
Oh my good Lord! Because he was Cowboy Hawk back on, and when he fired Tony, he was wearing the cowboy hat on the billboards, and he was the face of the team. And, oh boy!
As soon as I saw that, I'm like, oh wow, is this an omen? We'll see. 312-332-3776. Paulie's on the line. So is Chris. They're on hold. We're taking your calls after this about the White Sox right here on ESPN 1000.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Instagram at ESPN_Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Hanley and Xander on ESPN 1000. Hey, Brian, I heard that if you don't pitch as well as the other team and you don't hit as well as the other team, you could lose a game.
It's that simple.
It is that simple.
He said, when we hit well, they hit better. When we pitch well, they pitch better.
Yeah, I guess I wasn't totally, I wasn't totally on the mark, but... it's that simple, right? Not, hey, we've got to be better. That's the issue.
He just jumped over when we have base running errors and they don't, when we bobble the ball and they don't, the Rickon margin of error that's so thin, when we don't hit against starting staff and the Orioles that lets everyone hit, that's an issue. I mean, it's not that simple.
Yeah.
He's going to be in the Apple TV booth. It's with insight like that.
Paulie in Mount Prospect jumping on with Hanley and Xander on ESPN 1000. What up, Paulie?
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call. You guys missed one though too. It's the other team communicates on fly balls and we don't.
There's that one. Boy. Right. When they do and we don't, they win. Yes.
And then we go to Dairy Queen. Yeah. That stuff you learn in T-ball.
I made this point with Carmen Yurko on Friday too. Like, I mean, I think he's been on Moncada in terms of just being so tightly wound and the team being injury prone. I think like they've got a half dozen guys like that. And I mentioned like Anderson, Robert, Grandal, and there's Eloy too. Obviously, they're all like more or less just remind me of they all just look injury prone. But I was telling your guy on the phone before though, I almost think we're getting fooled into thinking like this is some kind of a mirror image of like the 05 team though, where we think we've got this murderer's row if everybody's healthy.
Amen.
But the problem is they're never going to be healthy though, in my mind. Because I'm looking back at that 05 roster, and you had guys, and there was no murderer's row by any means, but they just had clutch hitting. Yep. They were all healthy the whole season. Mm-hmm. So I was just wondering what your guys' take was on that.
And not only that, they had a 1-4 starting rotation that you haven't seen since maybe. And, they built up, I mean, you handed the ball to any of those guys, they went 7, 8, 9 innings, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. You went through 3 closers, and you still got the job done, which is unheard of in baseball, right? That starting staff was unbelievable.
Yeah, I agree. And then I think their lineup too. I mean, they had Canerico and Dye were basically their big bats, and those guys aren't future Hall of Famers. So that's the thing. It's not like like you said. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, you had the right pieces in the right places, and they stayed on the field, except Frank Thomas that year.
Yeah,
and that's the guy we really could have used, and we got it done without him. That's how good we were.
Exactly.
Yeah. Thanks for the call, Paulie. Let's go to Chris in Bridgeview. Chris, you're on ESPN 1000 with Hanley and Xander. What up?
Hey, how are you guys?
Good.
Good, good. My what's becoming my greatest fear is that this strategy that holding back players works. So... when I pay $70, $60 to go to a game and we're in this situation and, everybody's going to kind of go half speed, cause they're afraid of getting hurt, even more, it doesn't seem right when they're making, a lot of dough.
Mm-hmm. And your greatest fear is that this actually works and we get to the end of the season, they catch fire, and all of a sudden they have success.
Yep, and then that's a strategy next year and the year after that.
Oh,
and,
boy.
You know, their stars
hey, my heart can't take it. Hey, Chris, my heart cannot take this. So, yeah.
Neither. I mean, I know. Keep the pick five people to a game. And I love family Sundays at the White Sox. But even for $75, I'm not sure I want to go watch somebody go half speed.
But is Tony's message to the fans that you should be spreading to your friends and family?
Tell them. We don't want them to break.
Yeah, we don't want them to break, so we're telling them to take it easy. Does that allay your fears at all?
No, not really.
Hey, that should be the walk-up song for everyone on the Sox. Take it easy.
That's excellent. Yeah. Sorry, A.J. Pollock, no more Fleetwood Mac. We're going to play the Eagles for you.
Yeah, take it easy.
I
that's interesting. It's not a marathon. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon in baseball.
Yeah.
But this is going to be the new White Sox motto. It's a sprint. We'll be ready for the final month of the season, even though we might be 15 games back. But watch us catch fire then because we'll have fresh legs.
Yeah. Right? Or if you don't like what you see, come back in a month.
Check back with me.
312-332-3776. Has the game changed that much? It just seems like we're seeing a UFO landing. Yeah, it's just so odd and different what we're hearing now.
Every day it's like, you think you know what you're watching, but you never understand. We have a list, a do not run list. And there's five guys on there. And
he couldn't come up with Anderson, which Charlie pointed out. It's like, wait, is that not the leader of your team?
Exactly.
How did you not come up with that?
Okay, because
why did you bother naming any of them? But if you're going to name any of them, why don't you definitely name the star of your team?
Okay, how old's Tony? I mean, I forget what I had for lunch yesterday.
76, 77, whatever.
Yeah, whatever. I mean,
A Brewers fan's walking by smiling at me.
Yeah, there he is.
Yeah.
Because wasn't Robin Yount used to say that he told every player who came up, there might be one or two kids in the stands who've never been to a baseball game before. So you owe it to them to bust your butt every single day, no matter where the team is in the standings, because that might be the only game they've seen in person. And you owe it to them to give you the effort, to make them a fan for life. And I know that's so old school thinking, but I've never heard of a medical staff putting a list together. The DNR, do not run, because then we will do not resuscitate when the team's really dead.
And, Brian, just made a point. It's so old school. Do we not have the most old school manager running our team? I mean, we thinking by age and by time spent in the game, it's really
But Mark, everyone was concerned that Tony would not be attuned to the modern-day game and modern-day players. So he might
even
be too
far. Has he gone too far?
He might be trying to accommodate. Well, I used to ride my guys hard because that's what everyone did. So now, if the medical staff tells me that there's a do not run list,
I'll just share
guys,
with everybody and tell the fan base because we've got to tell. Yeah, tell your friends and family.
They're not lazy. Call your friends. Call your sons. Call your daughters. They're under direction not to go out and try to run through the bag because it's a routine grounder.
312-332-3776.
Yeah,
it just is
every
beyond,
day,
beyond
work. There's a new excuse every day, and it sounds every day it sounds worse than the one before.
And the Sox fans, real Sox fans, are not buying it. We're just not buying it. Wayne in Northern Wisconsin wants to check in. Hey there, Wayne, you're on ESPN 1000. What up, buddy?
How you doing, guys?
All right,
want to let you know that I grew up in walking distance of Sox Park and retired up here in Wisconsin. So I get MLB Network to watch this team. So you can imagine that it's going to be real hard for me to watch my language as I talk to you.
Yeah, I get it.
Charlie, get close to the dump button.
Yep, I've got my finger on it.
No, I'll keep it clean. Okay. I just want to let you know, I agree with the discipline thing. This team is horrible on discipline. They have no hitters discipline, when they're running the base and no discipline. And here's the thing that gets me. Everybody's got Roberts as the next Adonis of baseball, right? I can't count the times I've seen that guy dogging it. And before they start talking about his sore legs, and we have about three or four players on the team that they claim have sore legs. From what? It's not from hitting, right? So I really don't know what's going on with this team, and And, you know, I do appreciate your guys' comments about the, you know, about no discipline, because I agree with that. I think that this team has the personality of a 77-year-old coach. That's what I think. So I appreciate it, and I'll listen to what you guys
say. You know, Wayne, I'm glad you brought that up. Thanks for the call. The personality of a 77-year-old coach. He's not wrong. He's not wrong. There's not. You remember that energy last year? We had Billy Hamilton, and we looked like we were having fun. The only time we ever see that right now is when we're winning, which is easier to have fun when you're winning, which is not often enough. And you see a Josh Harrison, a little spark or whatever. But generally speaking, everybody's wound up tight, and it has taken on that personality. Now, I will say this, Brian, as we're talking to everybody and taking your calls, 312-332-3776, the trade deadline is going to be very revealing, and here's why. If we think Rick Hahn's hands are tied, and Jerry Reinsdorf allegedly hired Tony La Russa because he's making up for, you know, what happened back in the 80s, and also he feels like we have the team and the talent to win the World Series, and it's not working, will Jerry let Rick Hahn do what he needs to do to deliver that World Series that Jerry wants? Or to make the moves at the trade deadline for whatever we can to actually make a difference to help this team?
When we come back from the break, I will suggest an in-town trade or two that could help your Chicago White Sox. And it wouldn't probably cost you a whole lot. I don't know if Rick Hahn would be interested. I don't know if Jed Hoyer would be interested. But it might help you out in the short term, if not the rest of the season.
Yeah, and I will share some players that I'm willing to trade that probably a month or two ago I would not be willing to trade. But like the Blackhawks, at some point you just got to call it what it is, and you've got to let go of either things that have worked for you, like the Blackhawks, or things that haven't worked for you necessarily. On the White Sox team that you thought were going to just have not panned out. Time to cut your losses. 312-332-3776 if you have any ideas to this effect. We will dive more into that after this on ESPN 1000.
It's here and it's spectacular.
The all-new ESPN Chicago app. This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000, also available at 100.3 HD2. And on the ESPN Chicago app, it's Hanley and Xander on a Sunday morning. About an hour out from pregame, Connor McKnight will be here first pitch. Dylan Cease on the mound. He does like day games. That's good. And we have the White Sox lineup, Brian. Here's the way it looks. Tim Anderson's back. He's going to lead it off at short. Andrew Vaughn is going to be DHing today, so his legs get a rest. Except when he uses them at the plate. Luis Robert in center field. Jose Abreu cleanup at first. Gavin Sheets in right field batting fifth. Jake Berger third base batting sixth. This is interesting. Josh Harrison in left field batting seventh. I didn't think we'd see Josh in the outfield.
Mm-hmm.
But, Tony's our manager. Sebi Zavala catching, batting eight, and Lenin Sosa for the second game in a row, starting at second base, batting ninth. 312-332-3776. We've got Dave on the line. We're going to get to him momentarily, but I am intrigued. Brian, before the break, you said you've got a couple of Cubs players you'd like to sell us on the south side.
Speaking of the outfield, could you use a switch hitter with power who's become a better defensive outfielder in Ian Happ, who I don't know that the Cubs are going to be interested in keeping him around. He's 27 years old. He's going to get paid because he's having maybe an all-star type season. He won't get the all-star votes because the Cubs suck.
Right.
And he's not Chris Bryant or whatever. Name recognition is not that. And how about an old guy who might even have his old Sox uni still in storage somewhere? David Robertson, 37-year-old, who's having a very good season. Not pitching, you know, high leverage situations, but he's got a
bucket of balls. ERA. Bucket of balls.
Well, I'm not saying that you know he's on a $3.5 million deal. I mean, he was a placeholder for the Cubs, but this isn't Craig Kimbrel. He doesn't need, you know, to be the closer. He's not going to be, obviously. He doesn't have that type of ego or talent. And at his point in his career, he could be a seventh or eighth inning guy for it, right? I'm just throwing a name out there that it wouldn't cost you a whole lot, and you know, you could do worse, and it wouldn't.
Well, I'll tell you something. If the Cubs called and offered Contreras, Rick Hahn should really be paying attention. And I don't know what it would cost. But boy, I would love to have Wilson on the south side. And I've been saying that for weeks. And I don't know what that price would be, but I'd be willing to consider a heavy price for that. Look, Yasmani, highest paid White Sox player ever. Great. What has that gotten us?
No,
not near enough.
You celebrated the fact that he came over here because he wanted to be part of something he saw as a winning team that was, you know, right, just starting, that opened a window and he wanted to be part of it. And maybe he actually attracted some other guys to come here. But actual production on a consistent basis hasn't earned his money.
Nope, has not. As you said, Yoan hasn't. Eloy, injury prone, not necessarily his fault, but has he earned, has he lived up to? No.
No, Dylan Cease has been the guy in that trade so far.
Cease has definitely been the guy in that trade. And in the Chris Sale trade, Kopech, you know what? I'm still not ready to give up on him. But the other day.
Why would you?
No. He's got. Yeah. But there are some mental mistakes he's making. And I say that because there are definitely Kopech detractors. We've heard from them.
Yeah.
ESPN 1000. So, you know, it's not time to give up on him yet. Giolito. Wow.
Gotta get better.
Yeah. Have to get better, and I hope that we haven't seen the best from him, and it's in the past. We need to get him back where he was. But Dylan Cease, as I said, likes the day starts. He is on the mound today, and we're going to go to Dave in Joliet. Dave, jumping on ESPN 1000. Hey, Dave.
Hey, guys. How are you doing today?
We could be better.
Yeah, we all could be better if the Sox are winning. But yeah. That's part of my reason for calling is I'm kind of like defending Tony a little bit. But, you know, for years and years, pitchers have been on pitch counts. Players have been on injury count as far as their production. Usually they're sent down, you know, on a rehab stint. But I think the fans are more frustrated, and we're frustrated as fans because Tony's the first manager that ever came out. This has been going on for years and told the public. You know, the average fan doesn't realize that. If you're a baseball player, a former player but not a pro, and you're at the games all the time, you know what's going on. I mean, if you escalate it with the fact that the average guy makes $10 to $20 million a year. So, you know, it's frustrating as a fan. But as a fan also, you got to realize that we're frustrated because the Sox were in great shape before the All-Star break last year. And a lot of it had to do with having three pitchers that had seven or eight wins. Rodon was here. You had a lot of things, positive things going. As far as the injury thing, I kind of agree with what they have to do with what the players they have. You're only five games back. You're not going to get a playoff wild card, you know. So you got to hopefully get healthy and stay in the hunt. And, you know, win the division because that's the only way they're getting into the playoffs. But
starting July 4th, you have 19 games, 15 of those against Cleveland and Minnesota.
And that is where you're going to make up that ground directly.
And in his defense, again, he knows that. That's been around forever. I'm not crazy about Tony being the manager either at his age, but still, the guy knows what he's doing. And he's got, you know, we got to have a little bit of faith. You know, our bats weren't awake until 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, right?
Yeah, so, and they went to take a nap again.
Yeah, I know.
But I appreciate the perspective because
I mean we were in every game last year, primarily because of our pitching, and if our bats were alive, we were blowing teams out. I mean, you know, it's like you said, it's a marathon,
right?
So you know, you hope to be in the last 4 miles.
Well, Dave, it's hard not to compare with what we've seen from them before because that's always what you're going to end up living up to, right? And you're right. If the pitching was just lights out and the bats were there, we're blowing people out. This year, the pitching, if it is there, we're not supporting it with runs. I mean, yesterday.
Yeah. I mean, Lance. Michael Kopech. Look at him. He's getting, like, pegged for losing a game for a balk. The guy has gotten no run support.
Right. And that was right. That was not his fault. Lance Lynn yesterday, until he loaded the bases, and still he should have had that chance to get out of it. He gave him the chance. And then they went to a pitcher that should not have been in there.
Yeah, and that's the thing too. The game, the average fan doesn't realize how much the game has changed in 10 years. You know, despite COVID for a 2 to 3 year run now, which has affected the game.
Mm-hmm.
Prior to that, guys weren't going 7-8 innings. You know, you look back to our 05 team, and those are the last couple of years between 05 and 10 where you had guys going 7-8 innings no matter what.
Right.
You only had to have the lefty-righty setup for 1 or 2 innings, and you had a closer. The game's changed now. Look what Milwaukee did a couple of years ago. Like, we're just going to throw a guy 3 innings, 4 different guys, 3 innings.
Well, look at what the Orioles did to us, a bullpen game.
Right. Right. And, you get to the point where people are like, well, maybe that's a new strategy. Well, maybe it's just the fact that they have injuries and they have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and COVID really put a wrinkle into everybody's training, obviously, and their regular routine. Right.
And then the shortened, the strike this year.
Yeah.
And shortened of spring training.
All of it.
Look, there's a lot of things that there's a
in. And the fans don't, I don't think the fans put all that together. The average fan just goes there and goes, okay, this sucks. They're not hustling. They're not playing hard.
Right. But you can understand why the average fan would want to see them hustle.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course, because the average fan isn't out there every day.
Right. But it is interesting that Tony felt the need to go public with what you say. You know, everyone in the clubhouse knows guys, you know, have sore legs or whatever.
I think he's defending his players too.
Yeah. Well, the heat he's taken too, maybe he takes a little heat. You know, hey, look, we're not just lollygagging out there. But now everyone knows, like, you know, Mark said, now the opposing team knows which guys, he named them, which guys are not going
to
be
some things to have to stay in the clubhouse. I thought there was too much information.
I agree to an extent, but the fact now is all the other managers in the league, Tony's the senior manager, right? Nobody's older than Tony in the league.
All the younger
managers are going, thank you so much, Tony. So when my team's going through the same thing, I don't even have to say it. The fans in my clubhouse are going to be going, okay, you know, that guy's banged up. I see what they're doing, right?
Yeah, great points, Dave. Thank you for the phone call. I mean, really, really good points there, Brian, but it still comes down to this. You know, lack of discipline, lack of offense when we need it. Some of the choices that Tony's making, us fans are questioning, whether it has merit or not. We're questioning. We're seeing what we're seeing, and we're reacting accordingly. And it's been tough to watch, especially with the hype that's been put on this team.
The expectations were what they were, and it came from the team itself and the front office and everyone involved, including Tony wasn't coming here as a rebuild. He was coming here to win a World Series, right?
Yep.
And so, you know, injuries explain it to a degree, but you're not going to sit here and tell me that has been the thing that's
holding
this team
you back. No,
right.
No, that ship has sailed. That ship has sailed, and I still maintain that if we continue on this trajectory and we're coming up on the trade deadline, we'll see how much Jerry Reinsdorf, the owner of the team, really wants a World Series champion or a team that is going to get into the playoffs. We'll see how bad he wants that by giving Rick Hahn the ability to make changes that Rick sees that he needs to make, because we think that Rick's hands are tied, starting with the hire of Tony La Russa. 312-332-3776. I do want to talk about your Cubs, okay? I want you to lay out to us when we get back from break, what are the positives on the north side? Because, you know, the Cubs fan base, they need positives beyond Wrigley Field on a beautiful day. What are the positives? We'll get Brian's thoughts on that and take your calls at 312-332-3776 right after this on ESPN 1000.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Facebook at ESPN Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Hanley and Xander, ESPN 1000. Brian Hanley, you're a Cubs fan. We've got to draw out the positives of what's happening on the north side. They lost yesterday. Final score there was
5-3.
Yeah, 5-3. Yeah. Miles Mikolas, the guy who had the no-hitter into the ninth a couple weeks back, He was on the mound for the Cardinals. Today, Alec Mills pitching for the Cubs. Jack Flaherty down in St. Louis, 1:15 first pitch. So, as a Cubs fan, you're not winning the World Series this year. We've heard Jed deny the rebuild.
This year?
Yeah, this year. Yeah, okay. one year at a time.
Okay.
Deny the rebuild. What are the positives for you being a Cubs fan from birth and being a professional covering the Cubs for a long time? I mean, what are the positives for you? And they're probably not going to do anything, but, well, they're going to be sellers at the trade deadline.
No doubt. It's just not. There's not a lot to sell. I mean, it's Wilson
Contreras. Well, see, that's the thing. They've got a couple of. Yeah, they've got a couple of things to sell.
You didn't sound too excited about Ian Happ to the White Sox.
No. This doesn't excite me much.
This is per Gordon Whitmire, NBC Sports Chicago. And you know what? When you say Ian Happ, I have the same. On the surface, I would have the same reaction because he's been a very streaky player, and when he's bad, he's really bad. But,
yeah, we don't need any more of those.
I know you're not paying attention because of the Cubs and he's Ian Happ.
Yeah.
But since August 3rd of last year, in 126 games, 457 plate appearances, he's batting .291, an old school if you don't care about batting average. He's got 23 home runs, 76 ribbies, a .906 OPS. It's his longest stretch of consistent, sustained production, Gordon writes, of his career. His strikeout rate way down, his numbers from the right side way up since making adjustments and earning regular playing time against lefties. He's a switch hitter with power. He's 27, and I think he would help a team, Sox, who doesn't, they don't have consistent from either side of the plate, and they don't have enough pop.
And left-handers, and if you talk to Jesse Rogers, left-handers, how is he on the left-hand side?
Well, he's better. He wouldn't cost you a ton either, right?
So I'm
just saying, you know, but to your question, okay, Keegan Thompson, I'm telling you, it's tough to stomach watching a few innings of a Cubs game, let alone a full game.
Mm-hmm.
And especially, you know, on top of it, the marquee network pre and post makes it sound like they are winning a World Series this year. I mean, they get their butts kicked 12-1
because that's
Pittsburgh.
The dictate, isn't it?
Well, they're better than we are. In the post game, the first 2 minutes, they start talking about the positives in that 12-1 loss to the Pirates. And I'm like, okay, I where's the remote? I can't watch this anymore.
right.
It's like
fake news, right? It's like, we know what we're watching. Stop treating us like we're stupid.
It's Baghdad Bob, you know, the statue's coming down behind him, and he's like, there's nothing to see here. Everything's great. I mean, it's like, okay, whatever. So I get Christopher Morel. Nice story. Interesting.
Yep.
You know, hopefully he's a keeper. Seiya Suzuki, you know, it's still not maybe another week or two before he starts a real rehab.
You got to think that he's a keeper right now unless something really, really goes wrong.
They
paid him too much money. Yeah.
Well, and plus the posting fee, it's $100 million they've invested in him. But, you know, the first few weeks, rookie of the month and all that was great. And then,
Right.
So I don't know. I don't know. I've said it before. Here's what I don't know. Jed Hoyer says David Ross is a rock star as a manager. I don't know. Jed Hoyer
doesn't have the pieces to be a rock star. He doesn't have the
I don't know. I don't. I mean, until he does, I don't know how good a manager he is.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to have that. You'll have that situation with the Blackhawks and Luke Richardson because they're not built to win. They're built to lose. Jed Hoyer, I don't know that he's an architect of a winning team. He was Theo and Jed, and Theo did it in Boston, too. So I don't know. I mean, Jed looks the part, and he was part of it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know now that he's the guy. So I don't know. I don't know about Seiya Suzuki. I don't know about a lot of these guys. It's tough to sit there and say there's a reason to watch the Cubs today. And yet Sully wrote about it today. The Cubs have the fifth worst record in the league on the 10th anniversary of Anthony Rizzo coming up to the majors and being part of the rebuild. And they have the second highest fan cost index for a family of four. It's $364.83 to go out there because of their ticket prices. And they're seventh in attendance. So there is a disconnect there. I'm not spending the money to go through those turnstiles. I'm not buying, like Yerk says, I'm not buying a churro. I don't even like churros. But I'm not buying a hot dog
Wait. How do you not like a churro?
What is it, dough and sugar?
Yeah, in cinnamon.
Dough and sugar?
Yeah, in cinnamon.
What? Sounds awesome.
In cinnamon.
Yeah, I've never met a human that doesn't like a churro. I mean, this is breaking news.
The ones from Costco?
It sounds like you wouldn't even dare.
I haven't gone to Costco in forever. No, I used to love to go to Costco just to eat because of all the samples.
Except the churro.
I was going. I'll find me at the cheese section or whatever.
Speaking of breaking news, Charlie came in during the break. I want to mention this. Your mean Mercedes has been called up to the Giants. Guess who White Sox are going to be playing soon?
Oh, that's great!
Isn't that?
I hope he's.
I'm rooting for him. I'm rooting for it. I don't want to see the White Sox lose, but I can only take so much. But I'm rooting.
I don't think Yerman Mercedes is the reason they're losing in San Francisco, they're in trouble. I mean, more trouble.
I was going to say, are they not in trouble now? Is that the breaking point?
No.
It feels like we've been riding the breaking point for quite a while now. 312-332-3776.
Going out west, right? Yeah. Because they can't win at home.
No, that is unforgivable to have such a bad record at home and not to be hitting home runs at home. At this point, I don't know. We have so many issues, and it's like trying to follow the bouncing ball or what's under the hat on the scoreboard. I mean, there's just so many things to try to focus on, so many issues.
Hey, don't ever do that game on the CTA, okay? The three card Monty or the guy with the three shells.
No, I made sure I don't. Thank you for that advice.
Now on the CTA, you just gotta kind of watch yourself and make sure you get to where you want to go in one piece.
Don't even think about being on your phone.
The old school with the guys hustling you, hey, you want $20? Oh, you win $20. And next thing you know, the guy across the aisle is like in his third game and he's losing because the guy's doing the pee underneath the shell thing and it's a fixed game. But now you just worry about, again, just make it true.
Yeah, just making through alive. Yeah. 312-332-3776. Yeah, there's not a lot to smile about on either side of town. Two totally different situations. But what you brought up with the Cubs, and we've talked about, is the fact that they are built to lose. Like Ben Pope used as a reference earlier when we talked to him about the Blackhawks, the Cubs are built to lose right now. And that is the sad state of affairs. And if you want to take part in enjoying a Cub game for Wrigley Field in the sunshine, they're in St. Louis today, but say if they were at home, you're going to have to pay the price and you're watching a team that was built to lose.
You know what? Obvious shirts, or actually that would be a good giveaway for Crane Kenny. The first 12,000, 15,000 through the gates get built to lose t-shirts.
Look, if Obvious Shirts is listening, I think that
Keyboard Commandos. Yesterday we gave him Keyboard Commandos. Steve Stone called some of the people on Twitter.
And you know what? When we get back, I want to talk about that because there was quite the Twitter blowback, what I was seeing on my Twitter feed about Steve dealing with fans. Yeah. And I want to get your thought on this, Brian, because
it was nice, Steve, this morning. He went dogs. Did you see that?
He went dogs.
He said, take your dog for a walk, give him a treat, scratch him behind the ear.
And you know what? That's the way to calm everybody down. Just don't talk about dogs.
But then one guy said, well, my dog said he doesn't want to go for a walk until the socks stop sucking.
And when did Steve respond?
Yeah, well, they had pictures of their dogs. Like, my dog doesn't want me to watch the socks anymore. So he was trying to be nice, Steve, enjoy the beautiful day, go for a nice walk. Hey, Mark, don't put him in the yard and then go sit back on your rear end. Take him for a walk.
I let him out the back door, he actually walks around the yard. What's the difference?
But you can go for a walk too. See,
I know. My Fitbit from 2005 tells me I should be
worn out.
No, it's not at all. 312-332-3776. Back in 2 minutes, we'll talk about that Steve Stone thing, and we're taking your calls. You know the number. Back after this.